Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
It's time to get classy.
Yay, you're back.
I am back.
So, what'd you think of last week's podcast?
Oh, man.
I like how your first reaction to me whenever you were editing it was that you just can't leave the two of us alone on the podcast ever again.
You guys listening know you heard an edited version of that podcast, right?
Not that edited.
It was not that edited. I try so hard to let the conversational flow, blah, 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 power through so you can get it. Nope. Edit that.
Just think of all the things you robbed our fans of.
I prefer to think of it as saved. Saved is all the right. Correct word here.
Whatever, Chris Jericho.
Is that a Chris Jericho reference?
Because the whole save us thing. Whenever he came back.
Oh, that, okay.
The second time he came back.
Yeah, whenever he came back. That is a very precise moment in time. You're right. Shame on me for not knowing exactly what you're talking about.
But he came back in 2007.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Mm. That or 2008. One of those.
I don't know.
Whatever. Anyway, back to current day stuff. Payback happened.
No, we were still on last week's podcast.
Oh, we're still on last week's. Oh,
we
yeah.
We have to cover some things.
Apparently, I did a terrible job as, you know, carrying the show and making sure that we covered stuff.
Nobody...
I was told to cover Payback and do our usual, like, guest stuff.
And whatever important might happen on Raw, like, the most important thing to ever happen on Raw.
What was the most important thing that ever happened on Raw?
Brad Maddox got fired.
Okay, yeah, Brad Maddox got fired. Okay, fine.
What does this mean?
Obviously, not much, because they weren't doing anything with Brad Maddox to begin with. That's why it's not the big deal.
What are the implications for Brad Maddox's career now?
What career? Like, he was a GM. That's all his
career. I know.
He was a GM, and he couldn't win a match before he was a GM. That was it.
I'm very stressed out about this.
He's not on Raw.
I know.
Just like he wasn't on Raw, like, 2 weeks ago, and the week before that, probably the week before that.
But they fired him.
Yes, literally.
Do you think he's not future endeavored?
No.
They wouldn't bring him on TV.
No, I meant like he was literally fired with Kane coming out
on
the fire thing. Yeah, see what I did? Wordplay.
Eh.
Oh, whatever. So, Joel had to reprimand me for not covering Braddox. I still have the cigar burns to prove it.
You also said that Bret Hart was the one true thing that got me back into wrestling.
Yeah, Bret Hart coming back, like, that's what got your foot in the door.
Yeah, it wasn't really that.
What was it then?
It was Vince McMahon.
Well, okay, fine, that whole situation.
Yes.
But what got you interested is that I told you that Bret Hart was coming back, and you're like, that's not right.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. I did not get that wrong
but
at
you
all.
Likened it to Beardsley's Hulk Hogan.
Okay, whatever, fine.
And you're Shawn Michaels.
Okay, right.
And Bret Hart's a swell dude, but he's not what gets my heart a beating faster. I'm trying to really not say the word heart when I say this. I'm trying to avoid this pun so hard. It's not working.
You just didn't have your heart in it?
I could not find the right beat.
Oh, God. Oh, you almost had to edit so much cursing just now. So, all right, so I got that wrong. Any other mistakes from last? Like, I like how, like, the beginning of this podcast is the fact-checking of last podcast.
Yes.
Because you weren't here to fact-check it on the spot.
Exactly.
Okay, so what
else?
Can't
leave you with anything.
No, you can't.
No, I think that's it. We're good now.
No, you didn't have a problem with it, with Beardsley's RoboCop scenario? Okay.
I'm sorry, I was still agog that you thought that Bret Hart got me back. That Bret Hart was my one true thing.
Was it
that
far off? Like, was it really that far off? It was in the vicinity, it was that storyline, it was that whole scenario. And literally, the fact that Bret Hart was coming back is what got you watching.
No, it was that Bret Hart was back, because I didn't see Bret Hart return.
Well, I know. You're saying that he was back.
I mean, that was the thing, that you're like, that's Bret Hart. I'm like, that's not Bret Hart. Bret Hart's not on wrestling anymore.
Right.
So
I'm not wrong.
He's wrong, you guys.
I'm not wrong. You're trying to pull some BS Obi-Wan from a certain point of view crap right now.
No, it's Now we can move forward. I got my two big things out.
I'm so glad you can move forward with that. Calling me wrong, I'm saying that I wasn't wrong, but you're just like, hey, yeah, you're really wrong, let's move on.
Yeah, we can whatever. Didn't cover Braddock's.
Right. And I want it to show that our very own Trash Ring Attire host, or co-host, I should say, sorry. Don't want to anger one or the other. Yes. Or whatever. Blair was full on for most of the podcast, completely firing Joel and hiring Beardsley full time until we got to the part where Beardsley said that he was a Bad News Barrett fan.
Yeah.
So, I want to say like 3/4 of the podcast, 1/2 of Trash Ring Attire wanted Joel replaced.
I'm just saying, isn't pretty much everybody on the Bad News Barrett train?
I mean, I think Blair might be on a very small populated boat right now.
You think he's just stingy and won't let go of his? He's so deeply rooted. Like, I have to struggle to say good things about Sheamus,
right?
Like, though Sheamus has honestly done nothing to offend me since he came back and done some fairly decent stuff,
right?
I'm like, it feels weird in my mouth to say good things about Sheamus.
Well, yeah, but at least we can actually, you know. It'll hurt,
mm-hmm.
And every compliment we have will be like a half compliment in a way that we can kind of like backdoor a nice insult there too,
mm-hmm.
You know. So it doesn't feel like we're full on like, you know, Sheamus fans or anything, because we're not. Yeah, I don't know. Blair's just, you know, Blair's just Blair. He does what he wants.
He's gonna do what he gonna do.
I don't know how to translate that into Canadian, but okay.
He gonna do what he gonna do, eh?
Here's a donut.
Sorry.
Sorry, Canada. AKA, sorry, Blair and Nate. I think those are our only
Canadian. And any other Canadian listeners.
Do we have any other Canadian listeners?
If you're from Canada, please tweet.
@ CR Attire.
Tell us about Canada.
Tell us about Canada. And
I'm really sorry that I had said less than wonderful things about Bret Hart. They might not be listening anymore. I just spent like 5 minutes trying to distance myself from being a Bret Hart fan. I don't think anybody from Canada's listening.
Well, good. So, right. All right. So that means that they didn't listen to me just completely, just disregard any other Canadian fans that we might have.
Exactly.
All right. So, now that we're out of that hole,
yes,
let's talk about Payback.
No,
what? Oh God! You told me we were okay to move.
I know, but Takeover happened before Payback.
Okay, fine.
So we gotta go in chronological order.
Go.
Takeover happened, you guys.
I'm not going to help to try to structure this podcast at all anymore. You have my promise. It's all you. Carry it.
Takeover happened.
Yeah. So take over the podcast.
It was. That's a bad pun.
I know, I don't care.
Bad pun.
It fits. Bad pun. Go sit in the corner and think about what you've done.
Okay, we both watched Takeover.
Yes, we did.
It's fantastic.
Like 5 stars from start to finish.
Like, oh man.
Yeah, like even the pre-show and the post-show was fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and again, like I know I, you know, I'm super, you know, into Renee Young.
Yeah.
And various different ways. But, like, all seriousness, she, like, carried those pre and post shows very well, I might add.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she's juggling a lot of different personalities and trying to fit it into whatever structure that they're trying to keep. And she did a very, very great job. Very great, that doesn't sound right.
A very great job.
She did a great
job. That's not right.
But for the show itself, like matches that we weren't really looking into. Like I had like the day of and the day before, I was trying to like catch up on a few NXT episodes, just kind of familiarize myself with what was going on. But yeah, like I found myself like really looking forward to Adam Rose's match against Camacho. I didn't mind Rusev that much, even though I still hate the camel clutch.
But you know what? Honestly, like I still want to maintain like my stance against monster builds,
mm-hmm.
and my tiredness of it, but the Rusev on Takeover was worlds different than the Rusev we had seen up to that point on Raw.
Yeah.
And, like, he seemed intense.
Yeah.
And that was the thing, is like, it was such a bad monster build because it felt like Rusev thought it was a bad monster build.
Right.
And he was just checking off the boxes until he could have an actual feud.
Right.
And even though this match was pretty much a squash match for him like all before, he came out with a vengeance. He was ready to go.
Yeah.
He was intense. It was a complete different character shift. And so maybe it's the, you know, they're talking about that 1,000-yard stare, like the, you know, soulless, merciless, no emotion kind of thing. I won't say that that's, and you can't do that and that doesn't read forever, but Rusev is apparently not the guy for me to try and do that, you know, soulless, merciless winning machine thing.
Right.
Because he looks bored when he does it.
Yeah.
Because when he didn't look bored at TakeOver, it was great.
Right.
I also want to do threat special mention to the Divas match.
Oh, yeah.
That was...
Man, yeah, that was great.
Honestly, when they take Charlotte up to Raw, I kind of hope they just redo it.
Oh, with her, like, and Natalya.
And Natalya.
I'm okay with that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, the feud is, like, ready-made there. Mm-hmm. They just pretend it never happened in NXT. It happens all over fresh from the beginning at Ron Raw. I'd watch it. I'd be enthralled.
Yeah, I kind of want the same for whenever they call up Sami Zayn with him and Cesaro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it kind of feels like that. Like, you know, it's a ready-made feud. We already know that they have great chemistry, and we want to see more of it.
Yeah.
Speaking of Sami Zayn, we should talk about his match against Tyler Breeze.
Mm-hmm.
Really good match. The ending did feel kind of weird.
Yeah.
But that's really like a really small complaint.
I mean, honestly, like, yeah, you can throw plenty of things onto Sami Zayn. Tyler Breeze was not super on my radar.
No.
Before right. that match. The what's his name? Prince Pretty or whatever, like, his, like...
His little gimmick thing is. Yeah, yeah.
Was not working for me. And, like... Honestly, there's a lot more misses than hits with these gimmicks right now.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to, like, look past it, and, like, that ring work helped me look past it a lot.
Yeah, when I was catching up on NXT, like, the first few episodes that I watched that had him on it, I wasn't really into it, but the more I watched, the more I saw his ring work, it's like he kind of worked on his character, and you started to hear him do his actual promos, and... Honestly, like, that personality reminds me of early Shawn Michaels. Like,
yeah.
Like, not, like, Rockers early, but, you know. You know, when he was doing the, like, literally the Heartbreak Kid thing, the, you know, Shawn Michaels is entered the building thing, he's doing that, he, you know.
With the glasses.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, like, hearing him talk and kind of looking at him, if someone had told me that he was actually Dolph Ziggler's brother or something like that, I probably would believe you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, in his ring work, especially at TakeOver, was really fantastic. You know, Sami Zayn is Sami Zayn. You know what you're going to get, and he
yeah.
got all of it.
You know, which is good because he's number one contender now.
Tyler Breeze.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah, Tyler yeah. Breeze. So it's good that, like, I like him because now I'm ready to see him. Because, again, I didn't watch it live, so I had most of the outcome spoiled for me
right.
ahead of time, and just I was like dread coming to this one, and the match turned me around on like okay, I can watch this guy be number one contender
here. Yeah, I'm hoping that these guys are getting moved up soon. A lot of these guys, like at TakeOver, they kind of debuted new entrances, and historically with NXT, when they get new entrance music and new entrance videos and stuff like that,
you're
right about to move up.
Yeah,
you know that happened with. Most recent one that happened with was Bo Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as far as, like, his videos and stuff like that. So, I don't know. Like, I'm really ready to see these guys move up. Of course, the main event, Adrian Neville versus Tyson Kidd. It lived up to a lot of the hype that a lot of people were giving it. Tyson Kidd, even though he lost, he looked like $1 million.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping they do something with him
soon. There's been talk about repackaging Tyson Kidd.
Yeah.
Just, it's like, the Tyson Kidd character is too far gone, too far buried. So,
right.
just burn bridges and start over from the ground up.
Right.
I mean, honestly, I don't care. I've never been a huge fan of that, but
It works for certain people.
Who am I to say don't do that when Bray Wyatt exists?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah.
Like, it's, you know...
Like, guys that could use that, Tyson Kidd, I think Camacho could really benefit from that as well.
Yeah.
Just, I mean... You know, for the fact that, you know... The only reason that they built him as a Mexican character is because he was aligned with Hunico. And Hunico was, you know... He was the draw there.
Right.
And he was, you know, Camacho was just the big bodyguard guy. Yeah. So they can do away with that whenever they want. And as you saw on TakeOver, he looks really good. I'm really, like, he kind of fallen off my radar, and I just didn't even think much about him, but I would like to see more of him.
Yeah.
Just with a new gimmick.
So.
A better gimmick.
Yeah.
One where he's not pretending to be, you know, something that he's not.
Yeah. But, I mean, just all in down, top to bottom, great card.
Yes,
great execution absolutely. Of an event. Just, like, reaffirming hope for the future.
Yeah, and I think it does help that it's not a monthly thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that helps a lot. It helps with the build. It helps make it feel
it helps, more special. NXT doesn't have 3 hours a week. They have 1 hour a week.
Right.
So, like, they can have a number one contendership match be on a pay-per-view with air quotes around the word pay-per-view.
Right, but special
they,
event.
Yeah. Whatever. They can have the number one contendership be there, so it's like, oh, that's an important thing.
Right.
You know? So that's good. I like it.
Yeah.
Now you can talk about Payback.
You know what? I'm okay with it. I don't want to talk about Payback.
I don't either.
All right, then.
So I'm wrong.
No, we should talk about
Payback. Talk about Payback.
Got the kickoff match, which was the mask versus hair match with El Torito and Hornswoggle.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of, you know, interaction with 3MB and Los Matadores.
Yeah.
The stuff between Torito and Hornswoggle was good.
Yeah.
The stuff with that involved 3MB and Los Matadores felt unnecessary. And pointless. They're not even in the match.
Honestly, with
like,
they're
attacking
right
the
now,
other guys.
This gimmick is, like, is played out for me.
Yeah.
But in such a way that I won't be dreading or disappointed if they continue it.
Right.
But
you won't be heartbroken if they stop.
Exactly. And I will be upset if it becomes, you know, more serious or, like, starts having a better place in the card.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's like they want to feature El Torito more.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, oh, you know, we want him to seem like a fair fight, so we'll put him up against Hornswoggle, and that's pretty much the only, you know, that's the only thing they can do with those two. But really, you know, they've had El Torito face other members of 3MB, and, you know, it worked out fine.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, like, if you have to do it, like, Tyson Kidd would be a fine competitor against El Torito, mm-hmm. or Yoshitatsu, and I know you will not push Yoshitatsu, and I'm not trying to sneak it in there, but, like, right. Quick, bouncy guys.
Right, yeah.
You know?
What was it, that new guy that was on TakeOver that's teaming with El Locale.
Oh, I don't remember.
He's super impressive.
Yeah.
And again, that's someone that could potentially work with El Torito.
Mm-hmm.
And
again, honestly, you know, I would definitely sit down and watch an El Torito versus Brock Lesnar match. Like, I do not say it will be good. I don't even know what it will be. But I got the Yoda versus Dooku vision, and that's what I'm seeing.
I'm sorry, what?
Yoda versus Dooku?
Yoda versus Dooku, okay.
Like from episode 2?
Alright, I didn't hear the Yoda part. I didn't know what you were talking about.
Okay. No.
All right.
That's what I'm seeing with El Torito versus Brock Lesnar.
Got one, yeah, you got the bigger guy, then you got the smaller guy running circles and doing clips and stuff.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, El Torito won. Hornswoggle got his head shaved, kinda.
He climbed in the chair under his own power.
Right, that's the first time in where someone was going who lose their hair some stipulation where the person wasn't forced into the chair.
Yeah.
You know? That felt weird.
That did feel weird.
But I'll give it to Hornswoggle. He sold the crap out of getting his hair shaved.
Yeah.
Like, his facial reactions were fantastic.
He took it like a champ. Good job.
Yeah. And sold it quite well.
Yes.
And then, like, you know, his head was partially shaved and just left it for the next night at Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Super weird, but, you know, whatever.
Whatever, that's cool, you guys.
So we can move on to the actual show. We got the United States Championship match, Sheamus versus Cesaro. I don't want to say this. I don't want to say it because it hurts, but I actually liked the Sheamus match.
Yeah.
It was not bad. Anyway.
That was what I was talking about earlier. Like, Sheamus. I mean, obviously, like, whether it's personal bias or not, I do feel like Cesaro
had a big hand in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, obviously.
But Sheamus held his own. Sheamus was not carried through this match.
No, not at all.
And so, and you know what? And good job. I've always said, like, I'm willing to give Sheamus another chance, and will be happy to compliment him should he ever do something. And I'm glad he did something that I feel like I can compliment, so I don't have to feel like I'm a hypocrite.
Right.
So, no, I say it
Well, I mean, I don't think anyone would call you a hypocrite. Like, you know, if he did something that's worthy of, you know, us saying, hey, good job, then fine. But if he doesn't, he does crap, then yeah, people would expect us to call him out on that.
Yes.
It's just us being honest.
So, but I'm glad I can say good things about Sheamus. I'm proud of you, champ. Yeah.
Take that, Pat.
So, Pat, I forgot about Pat. So Sheamus,
Sheamus did get a roll-up pin, which feels weird with a face, but it, you know.
But I'm still not sure if Cesaro's a face or not.
Right, oh yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, you know, they've talked about, like, blurring the lines between face and heel, and I don't know if they've actually talked about it, or if somebody's best friend's cousin, Dennis, heard something about it, and it got reported in the dirt sheets as gospel truth.
Like it usually does.
Yeah. But, you know.
Because we heard that, oh yeah, Sheamus was going to be the new member of Evolution whenever Batista left.
More on that later.
Yeah. Yeah. More, that's more evidence of dirt sheets not knowing what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah. Next up is, Ryback and Curtis Axel defeating Kodust.
Yep.
This match was sad.
It ended sadly.
It ended so sadly.
Well, after the match. You know, yeah. The match itself was
good. No, match was good. Match was good.
Ryback and Curtis Axel, like, they're kind of coming into their own as a tag team. Yes. So we can't, as much as it's, as fun as it is to crap on them all the time, nonstop, for being completely waste of, you know, human meat sacks, it was still, they're really, really, really improving as a team.
Yeah, I mean, and it's the kind of thing where, like, you do this enough in front of enough people enough times working with the same guy.
You figure it out.
Yeah, you trial and error your way to success. And right. So, and that's fine.
Yeah.
So.
Although I thought that Ryback and Curtis Axel, I had, for some reason, I had thought that they had won some sort of number one contendership. Or was I completely just remembering that wrong? Or I'm making it up.
You might have been making that, but I don't remember that.
So, yeah, after the match, after Kodust loses, you know, we're having this weird moment where one of them gets a mic and we're thinking, oh, Lord, they're breaking up. But instead, it was Cody telling Goldust that he needs a better partner.
Yeah. And Cody, like,
which is a sad way to go, but that is a way to break them up without having to turn anyone heel.
Yes.
You know? As much as we, you know, brother versus brother match would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it would probably be really good. I don't know who I would want to turn heel. Like, because I'm not going to boo Goldust. And Cody Rhodes, he's been a face for...
Since almost Rhodes College broke up. So almost a year.
Almost a year, because it was Money in the Bank. So, and it feels like, you know, we haven't seen enough of him as a singles competitor and a face yet.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I mean, it's the kind of thing where, I mean, and they continued it on to Raw, so maybe they do have a tentative plan of where to, you know, push this.
Right.
Part of the reason I was so stressed about Kodust breaking up is I assume Goldust was gone after that.
Yeah, like, it's one of those things where it's like, he's, you know, he came back at Battleground, or just before Battleground.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's basically working a full schedule ever since. So, you would think, you know, either, I think he only had, a one-year contract, or, you know, he's up there in age, so you don't want to push it too much. So, yeah, you would think that it was coming up on that time where they just need to ease up. But then again, we've been saying that about Kane for the past couple years.
Yeah. Kane's still number one contender.
Even though he lost cleanly to John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, who hasn't? So you really can't put too much weight into that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. Yeah, if this is like coming close to the end for Goldust's current run, it's fine, you know. I got way more Goldust than I ever thought I would this, you know, around this time last year.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I'm okay with it.
Yep. Next up, Rusev defeats Big E. Standard complaints about Rusev and the monster build continue. However, this was the Rusev from TakeOver.
Yeah.
Rusev was intense.
As far as in the ring, Rusev was
excited. And Big E's a big enough dude that I'm like, okay, these guys can, you know, have a match.
Right.
And even if it still is more or less a squash match and part of this monster build, it's not Zack Ryder. And we all know what Zack Ryder's there for right now.
Yeah.
You know? And so...
being in the bunny costume.
Yeah.
We still don't know that for sure.
That for sure. But...
right, fair enough.
You know what, you know.
Yeah.
You know a squash match when you see one.
Anytime he's out there in ring gear, he's gonna get squashed. Yeah. Yeah, that Big E doing the spear through the second rope. As much as a cool spot that is,
mm-hmm.
He's gonna hurt somebody or himself.
Yeah,
he's doing that let's ease up on that. Like, he doesn't do it a lot, but when he does, it's like
be cool, bro.
Be cool, yeah. So yeah, it's a better match than what we've seen Rusev do because it was a competitive match.
Yes,
you know, and that was a big deal or a big thing to go along with that. So I guess we should move on to the non-match that happened. Bo Dallas and Kofi Kingston, but was interrupted by Kane, who attacked Kofi Kingston, and no one knew why until someone finally explained, oh, yeah, Kofi said some not-so-nice things about Stephanie.
Yeah.
If something happens to where the announcers have to explain what's going on, it's usually not the best of things going on. Like, usually at that point, like, everyone... especially for a pay-per-view, everyone kind of knows what's going on, knows who has a beef with who or whatever. But when you have to explain it after it's happened...
Here's the thing. That was a beautiful Raw segment. Kane comes out, nobody knows why.
Yeah.
You know, totally trashes this impromptu we didn't know was happening match.
Yeah.
We're all wondering why. And then they said, oh, you'd have known that if you were following all of our superstars on Twitter. Oh, I feel bad. Let me go follow them on Twitter now.
Right.
That is fine.
For the record, I follow Kofi on Twitter. I had no idea.
But this is still a pay-per-view. And I get that, you know, oh, we should all be getting pay-per-views now because of the network.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is a dangerous step towards the fear of diluting the pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Into just, you know, slightly better episodes of Raw that happen on Sundays sometimes.
Right.
That was kind of the fear that would start happening once actual pay-per-view buy rates went down because of theoretical network rising kind of things.
I will say this. At least as far since the network's been up, we haven't had any pay-per-views that started with a talking promo. So there's that? Yeah. Because, you know, Authority did have a few on there that started a pay-per-view with a talking segment.
That like, you get irrationally angry about that.
It's dumb. Like, save it for Raw. Like, that's what Raw is for, your talking segments.
All right.
Your pay-per-views is for your matches.
All right, fine.
You know, that's why I wasn't thrilled. I guess we should talk about that. I'm not thrilled that there was a Raw segment with Daniel Bryan, Brie, and Stephanie in the ring.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah, that's not on the card. We were totally going to skip that.
We freaking might as well. I've come so close to dropping F-bombs on this podcast today. What does it matter? Brie got fired. Yeah, that's gonna get fixed.
Yeah.
Soon. Or she's gonna, this was planned time
off.
Or
she needed some break.
Right.
To be with Daniel Bryan, who still has to go through, like, some recovery, clearly.
Right. And that was why he wasn't on Raw this week. Like, he's not gonna be at every show.
Right.
It was unnecessary. It was just them putting it off again.
Yes.
You know? It's like, okay, well, you're using up all your reasons to put this all, this championship situation thing off. You could have saved that one for this week's Raw.
Yeah, that's the big thing is you do have time to fill. And, you know, yeah, there were some long matches on this, but Paige and Alicia Fox wasn't too long.
No.
And you have, for the first time in a long time, a Divas champion who people are excited about and bringing signs for, and, you know, the internet, your smarky people that hate everything, especially Divas, are at least interest piqued by this, you know, Alicia Fox went crazy at some point.
Right.
You know, maybe there's a split personality feud going on inside her own head. I don't know. But that could have been 5 minutes longer and fine.
Right.
These other matches, and there wasn't any match on this particular pay-per-view that was criminally short. Right. But, yeah, you get some opportunity to show some big things. You know, in fact, the Bo Dallas and Kofi Kingston match that was on Raw, throw that on a pay-per-view, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it's unannounced, but give Kofi a real chance to show off Bo Dallas doing something. And it's like, okay. The guy has done nothing to super impress me in the ring.
No.
I will say, like, I am totally taken with this character. This is exactly how a heel should be.
Right.
You know, I think they honestly struggle with heels being too cool. You know, Stone Cold is the most popular thing.
Yeah.
So, who's essentially a heel that you cheered for anyway, just because he was awesome.
Right.
So.
And they're starting to kind of get that with the Wyatts. Like, people.
Right. The Wyatts are getting cheers, even supposed to be heels, just because they're awesome. Bad News Barrett. You know.
Same as Shield.
Too entertaining. Got a bad cheer for him now. Damian Sandow was like that for us. Dolph Ziggler, we were begging for a face turn because we liked him so much.
Yeah.
Bo Dallas. Awful.
Yes.
And, like, so clearly awful. This is, and I have no, you know, this is clearly not a mistake. This
right.
awful, awful thing that I want to see punched in its stupid face is clearly intentional, and that's perfect.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it should be. So, you know, it is a character that I am ready to see his comeuppance already, and I've seen him, like, 3 times.
Right. Or, well, no. Right now, he's foreign Bo.
He's foreign Bo, you're right. I have seen him 4 times. So, and I am so ready to see him in a real feud for somebody that'll
knock him out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm right there with you.
So, and it's not, and it's not X-Pac heat, though.
No.
Where it's like, you know, and that's not happened in a while, for me at least. I'm like, yeah, I'm ready to boo this heel that they want me to boo.
Right.
Usually I want to cheer the heels because the heels are more entertaining.
Right.
So, I don't know. So, I could use that. Next up, did we cover? Yeah, Bad News Barrett and Rob Van Dam had a match.
Intercontinental Championship.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I mean,
again, it felt like they were just, you know, hey, we got Rob Van Dam. He came back. We should probably have him on the card somewhere.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a lot of, like, I remember saying, wow, that spot was good, watching the match, but I don't remember what they were.
Right.
So, it was a good while I watched it, forgettable after I watched it match.
Right. Okay, yeah.
Which is fine, except Bad News Barrett, this is literally has to be Barrett's last chance to, like, really make it as a top-tier superstar.
Right.
I'm so invested in, like, oh, here we go, this is, you know, the Bad News Barrett thing worked beyond all shadow of doubt. Is it highly entertaining? Let's go. This is your make it or break it
right
thing. And so, if anybody else, if Kofi has tons of, well, that was fine. I don't remember it now. But that was a fine match. Good job.
Right.
And that's fine, because Kofi, unfortunately, seems destined to swim in the mid-card circles and be right. brought out for Royal Rumble spots. Barrett still theoretically has a chance
right.
to prove it. And, you know. And so right now, I don't think just okay is good for him.
Right.
I think that is closer to bad than good. So
yeah, he needs something a little bit more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. Next, we have the last man standing match between John Cena and Bray Wyatt, which also meant that, you know, obviously the Wyatts were going to get involved, and apparently that meant the Usos were going to get involved as well.
Yes.
Twice. Like, came out, with them, got involved, had their little skirmish, left, and then came back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Most importantly, how did you feel about the ending of this match? Because I think we all assumed John Cena was going to win. Because it was the last man standing match.
I would have liked to have seen something a little bit more... I don't know what the right word. Dramatic, epic. Like, this is the guy that he's been struggling against for so long.
Yeah, but he, like, threw him in a hole and buried him. That's alarmingly close to a buried alive match, is how this match ended.
Pretty much. He put him in a box and put another box on top of it and mm-hmm. sat on it.
Yeah.
It's not duct tape. It's in that same realm.
I mean, okay, well, here's the thing. I assume that it had to end in some sort of, like, gimmicky way.
Right.
I cannot remember the last man standing that literally the guy just couldn't stand up in the 10 count.
Right.
You know, it has to, like, oh, he has figured out a way to keep him down. Now, this didn't end with Bray Wyatt struggling to get out, and he couldn't because there was a giant box on top of him.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, I don't know, that's a small thing, I guess, but, like, that, to me, makes a big difference.
Okay.
To, like, if John Cena really beat him or, you know, just figured out a way to, you know, get the win.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, no, Bray Wyatt did not move after getting slammed in that box.
Right.
So that's a, you know, thing. And Bray Wyatt wasn't on Raw. Had kind of halfway a eulogy on Raw.
Yeah.
And then we'll return on SmackDown. So... Yeah. I don't know what they're doing with that character, but this, I think, may have ended the John Cena feud.
Well, yeah, and I feel like a lot of us, you know, felt that was coming, you know.
Yeah, it's two after WrestleMania. This is it.
Right.
This happens all the time, but...
Right. And, you know, John Cena's got the upper hand two times out of the three pay-per-view matches, so fine, time to move on kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know what's ahead for the Wyatts. Well, I mean, the Harper and Rowan, you know, on Raw, they focus on the Usos and beat the tag team champs clean, so I'm assuming they're going to have a thing. So I don't know if Bray's is going to kind of be a manager type for that for right now.
Yeah.
Which is fine, you know, which I like that better than them rushing him into a different feud somewhere else and just not really doing anything with it.
Yeah.
You know, like Bray, like he's going to need to do something. I feel like he needs to do something big because, you know, he's coming off a feud with John Cena.
Well, I mean, well, Cena's back in the pretty much the main event story, the championship story, which honestly, I'm okay with this time around because like
it's Money in the Bank. It's like everyone, a lot more people are going to be in the championship.
Picture. Yeah. And, you know, oh, they literally cannot put their champion in the main event story, but on account of medical things.
Right.
So fall back on the eternal safety net that is, gotta put John Cena there.
Right.
This time around, like, most times I'm like, no, they shouldn't, they should. This time, yeah, okay, I get it.
Right.
We'll have John Cena be the one to come out.
Who else is a huge face right now, other than Cena and Daniel Bryan?
Cena, Daniel Bryan, and...
Maybe, like, you know, most of the Shield.
Was of the Shield.
It was. Well, two-thirds of the Shield.
More on that later.
Yeah.
Next up is Paige defeating Alicia Fox.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, again, I pretty much said everything I needed to do beforehand. Like, it was a fine match.
Yeah.
Especially after seeing Charlotte and Natalya.
Yeah.
I wish they would have done more here.
Right.
Just because I feel like they can. I feel like the people are there now. Alicia Fox has improved leaps and bounds from when she was literally my go-to butt of the joke as to why the Divas division is so terrible.
Right.
And now...
Who's that now? Oksana?
Eva Marie.
Oh, sorry.
Why is that a question?
Sorry. Well, I'm sorry, you know, Oksana did kind of destroy someone's eye socket.
Fine. But you have Paige. You have... I mean, okay, you know what? Let me take this back, because you have Brie, which you don't have, Caitlyn, which you don't have, and AJ, which you don't have. So, like...
Yeah, go on about how great the Divas division
all
is.
All of my points have fallen away in, like, 3 months.
You've got Total Divas, which has... Well, one's gone. One of the good workers are gone. So that leaves two good workers with... three other terrible workers.
Well, there's some stuff like Emma, prior to the Santino thing.
Right.
I was like, there's some definite talent there. But
definitely Paige.
Definitely Paige. Alicia Fox, again, has improved leaps and bounds. Yes. You know, there's some stuff like Layla, which is still happening technically, I guess.
But the whole Fandango thing, yeah.
You know, there's talent there. But I do feel like you have a lot of it, like, right there, ready to debut at any time. Right. You know? I don't know what your debut schedule is, and I don't want to overload the debut, because pretty much everybody I saw on Takeover, I was like, I'm ready for him on Raw. I'm ready for him on Raw. Right. I'm ready for him on Raw.
Because it's like, you know, you have all these guys who are about to move up, but you also have guys that are still there that you have to do something with.
Right. And, you know, and they are very new debut heavy, with Bo Dallas and Adam Rose and Rusev, you know, all debuting within a matter of weeks of each other.
Right. So I'm okay with them just, you know, holding back on debuting anyone else for right now.
But
as much as we would love to see, you know, Sami Zayn up and Adrian Neville up on the main roster.
Yeah. But with the Divas division, I feel you are very close and you to being able to make the Divas division more than two people feuding.
Mm.
Like, I think that AJ and Caitlyn for a long time just carried that whole Divas division together.
Right.
Back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah.
Well,
and that also was, you know, they were losing Divas left and right then.
Yeah. And, you know, and at that time, I was like, there's nobody else. That's all I care to see is these two.
Right.
And right now, like, I would not mind seeing Tamina and Paige's match I liked.
Fair enough, yeah.
So I would not mind seeing Tamina in this, you know, thing. And I get that you basically allot one segment of the show to a diva story.
Right.
So it's hard to have multiple diva stories going on when you have one segment per show, the way that you can have, you know, four or five wrestling storylines going on in the men's category. But you got 3 hours.
Right, yeah.
And you keep doing stuff like putting the Daniel Bryan segment on Payback.
Yeah.
I think you could, you know, I think the in-ring talent is there or very close to there.
Yeah.
So, and then you have your final match of the night.
Yep.
Which is Shield defeating Evolution.
It was a very long match.
Very long, but a very good match.
Yeah. I don't want to take anything away from it by saying it's a very long match. It was just a long match. You know, and it was even longer whenever you're watching at 3 in the morning and after working a 12-hour shift.
I was asleep.
You were asleep.
I was asleep.
There was a long period of time when Evolution was just dominating for the longest time and no one was getting eliminated. And that was, like, the whole period of time where I dozed off.
No.
I woke up in time to see, you know, the big Seth Rollins spot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, from the Titantron.
Yeah.
So from then I was, I, you know, I stood awake for that. But yeah, I rewatched it. Good match.
Mm-hmm.
It literally felt like, you know, oh, I hate saying this because they say it so much. It felt like a war. Yeah, I know.
It felt like a match. Now that we have seen it, it's a feud. It felt like a match worthy of ending that feud.
Right. Don't know why they're continuing it, but you know what, fine, whatever. Needed a big shock moment, fine.
It felt like, you know, this is a great, everybody seemed to be giving their all, even good old Randy Orton.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
although, like, I did notice some people talking about this on Reddit, a lot more people are noticing that seems like Randy Orton is taking better care of getting everything off of the tables.
Clears those tables.
Make sure all the monitors are very far away from his lower back, which I don't blame him.
No.
After going through that, I would, yeah.
Well, let's make sure those pins get scraped off. Can we get a paper towel to clean up this
tiny
spilled
little,
Mountain Dew?
This tiny little lamps. Let's get rid of that. Oh, those ends on that crown look quite pointy, Jerry King Lawler. Why don't you just hold on to that?
Can we mention that Jerry called out Michael Cole for not drinking his Mountain Dew on camera? Live on camera?
And then Michael Cole tried to save him and be like, oh, it's my second one. I'm way ahead of you guys.
That was the funniest thing.
The thing again, I don't think JBL wasn't either.
No,
like Jerry Lawler was the only one that was drinking Diet Mountain. The guy that had a heart attack. Was drinking soda on television.
Oh man, that caught me off guard. That was so funny.
I mean, well, okay, let's not be too hard on Michael Cole. It's Diet Mountain Dew.
No.
That stuff is awful. Like, and I'm a big Mountain Dew fan. Diet Mountain Dew is just garbage.
I mean, that was very close to King breaking KFAM. You're like, we don't actually drink these, you guys. We're just shilling out for the advertisement.
Everything between me and Andy Kaufman was completely scripted, guys.
He might not be fully breaking, but he was knocking on KFAM's right. door.
Yeah. I'm the king of nothing. It's just a title.
Oh, man. And then, okay. There's nothing to talk about on Raw before 11 o'clock. Nothing comparing to what happened at 11.
Right. Well, yeah. Fair enough. Well, Batista did leave. I guess we shouldn't.
Okay, so that's why.
And very unhappy about Blue Tista.
Yes. Okay,
but you wore a lot of blue.
You did wear a lot of blue, sir.
Come on. You were a, well, I was going to say a muscly Rey Mysterio, but Rey Mysterio did get kind of big there at one point. You were a tall Rey Mysterio without a mask.
I mean, I can sympathize with the fact that, yeah, six guys put on, like, went through a war, put on a great match together, right. And you want to focus on, you're wearing blue.
Right.
Like, I get that.
It's so, like, random for him.
Yeah, but I don't think my, you're wearing blue.
Right.
And oh, there was a match, I didn't notice it on account of the blue.
It's just like, okay, fine, everyone else is wearing black, come on. Like, literally everyone, Shield, Randy, and Triple H, all wearing black, except for you.
I mean, and also, I was done with wearing blue until by the time they hit the bottom of the ramp and then watch the match.
Right. I was like, oh, that's weird, but okay, whatever.
It just trends for a while.
Right. But yeah, Batista did, he quit, gave everyone a nice pageant wave and walked off.
Okay, so here's my question, though. Do you think this was the time frame he would have quit had the original story, that the Batista storyline that we thought with the surprise return,
right?
The face reaction that they were expecting one.
Well, I think, to be honest with you, I think the original one was he was supposed to leave earlier. He was supposed to leave sometime after Extreme Rules, but he stayed together longer for the Evolution thing, and I'm glad he did. But it's fine.
When do you think he will be back on Raw?
Probably, like, depending on how long they want to promote, it depends on how much long they want him to promote Guardians of the Galaxy after it's come out.
Yes.
But it won't be until after it comes out.
You don't think he'll come back on Raw the way, like, Hugh Jackman is, like, the guest host of Raw? Kind of thing?
I don't know. Like, it's always hard to tell. WWE's always wanted to be a promotional machine.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and he left to Cheers.
Right.
And he will probably get a face-ish pop. Especially if they
do it right.
I mean,
if they can keep his return
if they keep his return quiet and don't have him getting in front of Daniel Bryan in the cafeteria line.
Right. Like, yeah. Like, knowing who to put him up against. Like, have him come out, and but depending on what happens with a certain person that we're going to talk about in a little bit, have him come up and face against that person who's probably going to be a major heel by that point. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or have him, you know, come back and beat up Triple H.
Yeah.
That'll work as well.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah. Yeah, there's ways to bring him back as face. It's just they brought him back the wrong time. They had him go up against Alberto Del Rio, and no one cared about him. And he won the Royal Rumble instead of Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
It was just bad timing. It was very unfortunate because, I don't know, I was kind of, you know, we gave Batista a lot of crap.
Batista came back with some serious ring rust.
Right.
And I think nobody's denying that. Right,
but by the time he got to WrestleMania, he got it all together, and he, you know, he deserves a lot of the credit for how, you know, really great that main event was, and, you know, deserves a lot of credit for everything that's happened happened afterwards.
Yes.
So yeah, like I feel like he didn't get a fair shake.
Oh, I agree with that.
This time around,
at this point, I agree with
that. It kind of feels not quite like Jericho's last run.
Yeah.
You know, just losing everything. And just, it didn't seem like he got any kind of momentum at all.
Yeah.
So, I'd be, you know, obviously I'm okay if he comes back after Guardians of the Galaxy, and but I do think if they do it right, he can absolutely come back as a face.
Yeah.
That's probably what they want.
And then, yeah, and then we get to the end of Raw.
Excuse me.
Which, just to rip the Band-Aid off, Seth Rollins betrayed the rest of the Shield.
Yep.
And joined Evolution. I guess he joined Evolution.
Yeah.
And so...
So you don't have to... So Evolution is not going to be a two-man thing, and you don't have to use your new name that you had come up with earlier that night.
What was that name?
No, you should say it.
I don't want to say it.
No, it's your brainchild. You should show it to the world.
Chris thought Evolution was funny enough to put on Twitter. I didn't.
Okay.
But Chris put it on Twitter.
No, I put it on Twitter because I needed something to put on Twitter. And like we've established, I have a very, you know, shotgun shell mentality when it comes to putting stuff on there. So whatever. You came up with Evolution.
But I didn't share it with the world.
They don't know that.
You brought it up on this podcast too. I was gonna let Evolution ride by.
No. We're gonna wheel it out and let everyone take a whiff.
Chris secretly thinks Evolution is awesome.
No,
Chris is not. Secretly sad. That made the betrayal all the worse for Chris.
Yes, of all the things that happened, all the things, like, it wasn't the fact that I was just sad that the original version of the Shield is gone forever. No, it wasn't that. It was because Evolution would not be a thing.
You heard it here first.
Crap, someone's gonna, like, edit the audio file to where it sounds like I'm saying that earnestly.
Someone?
A.K.A. the person who edits this podcast.
Right. So, here's the questions abounding, questions surrounding.
Right.
And then we'll get explanations of things next week, obviously. As we go,
yeah.
I do kind of hope that they'll say that it happened after the match, because Seth Rollins tried really hard in that payback match.
Yeah.
For Shield to win.
Yeah.
So, whenever offer that they couldn't refuse, like, any kind of, like, it was a me all along, Austin kind of thing.
No, they don't need to be doing that. Like, no. It needs to be like, you know, they made an offer after payback.
Yeah.
You know, Monday morning or whatever.
That's fine. Do you think Seth Rollins was the right one to turn heel? Because we were saying at the time, I would have bet money it was going to be.
He was the surprising one.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about it, it makes sense because whenever it looked like they were about to split up, Seth was always the one to kind of bring him back together and be like, all right, come on, guys, let's get the... And then there was that one point where he literally did bail on him during a Wyatt family match just because he was just tired of, you know, keeping them back together.
Yeah.
So they could play that up. You know, obviously there was some seeds there, if you really want to think about it. Clearly, the one who's always the easiest to turn heel is Dean Ambrose because of his personality.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad they didn't go the easy route, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Seth, he's the kind of guy who's probably perfect as a face.
Well, see, here's the thing, is like, I'm going to continue to be stressed that they're going to pull the trigger on heel Dean Ambrose.
Right. Still.
Like, if they'd gone ahead and done that, I mean, okay, there we go. We lost it, and we lost the Shield, but everything's where I figured it was going to end up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm still stressed.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if I think that this was the time to break up the Shield.
But, I mean, you know, if it happened later on, we're probably going to say, like, oh, this wasn't the time.
See, I don't know, because it was a very long time of, like, no, this is awesome, and then I was ready for it to happen, and then they face turned,
right.
No, this is awesome again.
Right.
So, I don't know, I think that a face faction is so hard to successfully do. And the fact that they had one.
Yeah.
They had one organically. They had one believably. They had one that they weren't trying to make us cheer that we were cheering.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it is now squandered. And yes, a little bit of that is they broke up the Shield and I'm sad faced.
Right.
But I honestly do think that this trigger was pulled a little prematurely. But fine, whatever. It was going to happen at some point.
Right.
It has happened. I
don't know what Seth Rollins looks like not in tactical gear.
I mean, just go back and watch his Ring of Honor stuff. Or go back, or not, you don't even have to go that back that far. You can go back to NXT when he was the NXT champion.
It's gonna look weird.
With him coming out in the suit?
It's gonna look weird.
That's just one more person that's willing to wear a suit that's not Randy Orton.
Yeah.
And you made that point. It's like, maybe Seth Rollins was envious because Randy Orton didn't have to wear pants. And he was just tired of wearing all that tactical gear. I'm like, I don't want to wear pants so I can be like Randy.
I don't want to wrestle in all this. Look at Randy and his freeing little
right
banana hammock.
He looks so comfortable he could crap in a bag.
Where do you think they go from here? Do you think S.H.I.E.L.D. versus Evolution continues?
At least for one more pay-per-view, you know, and then kind of go from there.
And that pay-per-view would be Money in the Bank.
Right.
So do you think none of the S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be in the Money in the Bank match?
Probably not. I think they're just going to, concentrate on this. Which is fine, you know, they need
something. I mean, I guess they need to fill Money in the Bank because they only have one
right
Money in the Bank match now.
Yeah. Because, so, you know, presumably a lot of the mid-card is going to be on the Money in the Bank match.
You think they'll have more than 8 people in that this year?
I mean, if they're only going to have one. Because basically Stephanie said that the plan right now is for Daniel Bryan to
face Kane. And honestly, I believe that is their genuine plan, is right. If Daniel Bryan can, we're doing this. If Daniel Bryan can't, we're
then
doing this.
Money in the Bank ladder match becomes the championship match. But if they do that, does that mean they're also going to have a Money in the Bank match?
Which I totally think they should do.
I think they should. Like, if they scrap that and just have a TLC match for the championship or whatever, or ladder match for the championship, why is this a Money in the Bank pay-per-view then?
I mean, if you don't have a Money in the Bank match, you get rid of that briefcase, which is just it's such an easy plot point to, like, carry around right. at all times. The fact that there's only going to be one of them, I think, kind of is unnecessarily shooting yourself in the foot to begin with.
Right. Like, I think, like, because, you know, they've done it for the past 2 years where the WWE Championship Money in the Bank match was considered the all-star match or whatever mm-hmm. for, you know, top guys. You can do that this year, but have it for the championship. And then, you know, yeah. everyone else that's not in that is in, you know,
I mean,
the Money in the Bank match.
I personally would have rather had them just go ahead and do that and Daniel Bryan will be in that match or not.
Right.
You know, because everyone had a stretcher match, which was spoken in this world probably for the first time in 6 years.
By me.
By Chris.
Because I was talking about how much I hated it.
I know. The
universe is like, someone's talking about it. That means they must want it. Let's give it to them now.
And so, God, the stretcher match exists again.
Sorry, guys. That's on me.
So.
I don't know. It's all confusing right now.
Yeah.
Well, I wish they would just make up their mind about this championship situation.
Well, honestly, like,
it's been a month and it's some change.
Yeah. And I totally get, like, the reluctance to pull the trigger on no champion, on stripping Daniel Bryan.
Right.
And honestly, I get, like, yeah, we can go a pay-per-view without that. We can't go to.
Right.
I wish it wasn't a central storyline each week, because, yes, it is literally like, not this week, maybe next week, tune in.
Right, yeah.
You know, I would rather have just no acknowledgement of it, if there's no news.
And see, the thing is, if it's going to be such a last-minute decision, how are we going to, like, be invested in a match that has no build? Like, how are they going to build a match between Daniel Bryan and Kane, if that's going to happen? Like, just have Kane randomly go up against people? Because he was cleanly beat by John Cena this week.
Yeah.
How are we supposed to believe that he's, like, the best choice for the number one contender right now? Like, sure, yeah, when Daniel Bryan does come back, he has a built-in feud with Kane with the way that, you know, the way that it happened before the surgery. But fine. But we're seeing mostly Daniel Bryan and Stephanie right now.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm more. It's Money in the Bank anyway. I'm more excited about the ladder match than about the championship match.
Yeah,
you're not gonna beat that. No stretcher is gonna convince me otherwise.
Very true. So yeah.
All right.
Is there anything else we need to cover?
Do you want
to
do what's making you happy real quick?
You go first.
DiGiorno.
Yeah.
DiGiorno is making me happy.
DiGiorno, I don't know if they were the sponsor for Raw this week or what, but their Twitter account was all about some Raw, and their tweets were glorious. Even, like, they touched on CM Punk, you know, they basically said if we gave him all the pizza he wanted, he would stay in WWE forever.
I truly hope that some, like, super fan was in charge of that thing.
I'm sure. It had to have been, like, just, you know, hey, we need to do this Raw thing. Which one of you knows wrestling?
Can't you see, like some, like, buzzy 19-year-old kid of a board member? It's like, you like the wrestling thing. You
right.
Make them a tweet.
Right, yeah.
Make them a want my pizza.
Right. Yeah, no, I absolutely could see that, too. It was fun, and now, you know, they're being followed by Class Ring Attire. And my personal account.
So, yeah, we are plugging the DiGiorno Twitter account.
And we also told them that, because they said they figured out why John Cena wears the long shorts in the ring. It's because he's got pizza in his pocket. And we did respond, like, we will wear jorts if you send us pizza.
Yes.
So, offer still stands, DiGiorno, ball is in your court.
Yes.
Because they listen to this podcast.
Of course they do.
Because we follow them on Twitter.
Of course.
Exactly. Let's see. I'm going to Fayetteville this week. Spend some time with my family. Got family coming down from Illinois. Haven't seen a lot of them in 6 years. So that'll be good. Looking forward to that. It's going to be a relaxing week, I hope. Wrestlingly, like, it's hard not to, for the thing that made me happy was TakeOver.
Yeah.
It was just such a good show. And it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's pretty much completely, like, from the ground up, completely on Triple H's back. And it makes me feel really good about him taking the reins completely one day. Or him and Stephanie, at least.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things where it's like, you know, he has a big say on what goes on, but Vince still has final say. And you can kind of see that on Raw when you compare it to what's going on with NXT.
Exactly.
So I think, honestly, think what you might about the on-screen Triple H character, but behind the scenes, I'm completely... I have a lot of faith in that he's going to do some good things.
Yeah. Whenever he does take over. Being stoked about Triple H, the way he seems to be steering the company.
It's an actual wrestling show.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. It's got talking stuff here, there, and whatever, but it's a wrestling show. I like that.
Yeah, I agree.
As you yawn through it, yeah. Thanks. So what's up?
Go ahead.
Doing good?
Go ahead.
That's right, it's time for the mail sack. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. All right. So this comes from Twitter at Radman9. Who do you think will join the Shield to become their third member if they have to pick one up?
As always, this would be a perfect time for CM Punk to re-debut.
Very true.
There's
that. Clearly, you can always point to somebody in NXT that's about to move up. So I don't think Sami Zayn would be a Shield-type person.
Yeah, but I didn't think Seth Rollins would either.
True.
And apparently he wasn't.
Well, after a year
apparently
and a half.
Apparently I was right.
He was perfect for a year and a half.
I called it the slow burn.
I don't know who else you would from NXT you would throw. People that are, like, you know, on the verge.
Well, if you were really concerned about holding the Shield together, I might be beyond Money in the Bank, maybe through SummerSlam. By that point, I might be interested in seeing these guys go their fairly separate ways.
Right.
Yeah,
and I feel like whatever third member they have is a very temporary thing.
Yeah. Honestly, though, if I had to pick somebody, Dolph Ziggler, just because I'm frantically... Yeah. Or Brad Maddox, honestly, like... Guys that I enjoy that seem to have no place in the eyes of WWE.
I have two in mind that Probably for selfish reasons, just because I'm a fan of these, both of them. First one that comes to my mind, just because hot off of something great, Tyson Kidd. Mm-hmm. Be a great way to bring him back in a big, bad way. And, like, people take him seriously. Two, just because it kind of fits their storyline, Goldust.
Yeah.
Because Cody needs to find a good partner. Cody wants to find a good partner for him. What better partners than, you know, two-thirds of the Shield?
Yeah. That's a good point.
So, I mean, yeah, you probably wouldn't wear tactical gear, but... although, gold and black tactical gear would be great. I don't know if he could wrestle in that.
I don't know. Or Paige.
Okay.
Just to throw a girl in your faction.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And have her face Seth Rollins?
Well, no. Have her
face... The whole point is to even up the score. They're not going to have, you know, a female fight a guy.
Fine.
I'm all for having a female in the faction, but they're not going to do that.
Well, shut up. I mean, well, honestly, I don't know how much more Triple H is going to be in these matches. Right. He is basically off of the, you know, clearing up the stuff from his mate WrestleMania. Because, of course, he'll be at WrestleMania, and he'll wrestle again at WrestleMania
next
year.
Right.
But, you know, he doesn't do this wrestling thing that much, so I can't imagine Triple H continuing this storyline that much longer. You know, I figured it would be WrestleMania, then a break till SummerSlam.
Right.
And he's pretty close, especially if he wrestles at Money in the Bank again, he's pretty close to have wrestled through that whole time frame.
Right. So. It could transition to kind of be just manage the two guys in Evolution for right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then possibly set up for a thing between him and Batista at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Because I'm assuming that's probably when he's coming back, when Batista's coming back.
Yeah, that is right. I don't remember what the exact dates for SummerSlam are, but that's right at Guardians of the Galaxy,
so at least. I'm thinking that or Survivor Series, if they want to, you know, tentpole with the big pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And then just kind of just leave it 2-on-2, which is fine. I'm okay with that. It makes more sense. Because, you know, bringing in a new guy in the Shield at this point would kind of feel weird.
Yeah.
Almost wrong. But, you know, if they need it to even out the score, then I can see, you know, a 1 or 2 time thing with somebody.
Yeah, I could see that.
Fair enough.
All right, anything else for you?
That's it for me.
All right. As always, you can follow us at CR Attire on Twitter. We live tweet all Mondays, appropriate Sundays. We discover that DiGiorno is amazing randomly.
Yeah.
It's fantastic, so follow us on Twitter. You'll be glad you did.
Yep. And if you... have any thoughts, questions, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Follow us on iTunes and look us up there. You can subscribe, give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review, any of that. It really helps out the show with iTunes' fancy find new podcast algorithm thing. Those kind of reviews and ratings really help out the show. So best way you can support us right there.
Please and thank you. If you are listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.